Okay, the House Transportation Committee is hereby convened. It's 5:05. Today's the 24th of February. We've got Representatives Foster, Mulder, Hudson, Veazey, and Gary Davis here. We do have a quorum. We're going to lose, looks like, one or two of the committee here, but the other ones will be trickling in. We've got the Port of Bellingham here today, and we've reserved the committee time today for a review by the port. I wanted to say to begin with, and I thank them in private already for the tour that I got back in August of the facility, and they're very courteous, and actually went on board one of the ferries and went from the ground up all the way up to the captain's place, so in the engine room. Yeah, and had a real good tour, but I did want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for the tour. I understand you did the same thing with Senator Bert Sharp. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and Jim Darling is going to be giving us the presentation then?
Sure.
Okay, come on right up here. Okay. And we're on tape right now, so if you can go ahead and give your name and everything and introduce the rest of the commission here.
I'm Jim Darling. I am the executive director for 3 weeks for the Port of Bellingham. My predecessor, Don Fleming, you may have met in the past, moved to onto the Port of Seattle as their marine director. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today and you setting aside the time for us. And we really wanted to do is brief you on a couple developments that have happened that affect transportation and the link to Alaska, and we'll be very brief given the time of day. Before I start, though, I'd like to introduce the delegation we do have. This is Commissioner Scott Walker with the Port of Bellingham. Some of you have met. Peter Zuanich, who's one of our commissioners at the port. Bruce Ayers, who is a council member at the City of Bellingham. And Mike Brennan, who is the executive director for the Chamber of Commerce for the for Whatcom County. He's joined us today as well. There are really two new developments that are in various stages of progress right now. The first one is our airport, and we operate the airport that serves that northwestern part of Washington. It's a port of entry operated by the port. We just extended our runway last year from 5,000 feet to 6,800 feet. In addition to that, we are replacing our Winnebago control tower, which has the distinction of being the only control tower in the country that in elevation is below the runway. And we'll now have a tall tower, a fully federally funded tower. And we'll be putting in additional navigational aids into the airport. And what's important about that project is that it'll give us the ability, the capital improvements, to hopefully attract airlines again that may renew their direct links between Bellingham and Alaska, both for passenger and cargo possibilities. And
you can believe everything they say, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Particularly Pete. Back there.
Pete,
he's the institutional commissioner. Yes.
Okay.
Pete's been on the commission for over 40 years, so he has.
Thank you, Bill.
History.
And never told a lie.
So those improvements to the airport are important because, the airlines, they go where the market's at, but you've got to have the basic facilities. And we, over the next 12 months, we'll have those basic facilities in place and it offers some real potential for us. The other project is directly related to us being the southern terminus for the Alaska Marine Highway System. And I have some handouts for you. If you get those, if you could flip to the second page in. In 1981, Amtrak passenger service stopped running north of Seattle from their Southern California run that came up through Eugene, Portland, and through Seattle and came up to Bellingham and on to Vancouver, British Columbia. They stopped that for lack of ridership in the early 1980s. That situation has changed, and through the efforts of a great number of people, Amtrak is going to restore train service from Seattle to Vancouver by October 1st of this year. And what's important to us in that regard is that Bellingham will be one of the primary stops on that route north of Seattle. And through a series of federal and state grants, as well as local contribution by the port will be constructing a multimodal facility within several hundred feet of the ferry terminal. On that first, that one sketch, it's a couple, it's the second page in, with existing conditions. I've highlighted in yellow the ferry terminal, which you can see that exists today. And on to the up and to the right, across the railroad tracks, you'll see a building in yellow called the Hagen Building. That's actually the old Pacific American Fisheries Building, the 24,000 square foot brick building, masonry structure. We've received grants from the Washington Department of Transportation and the National Highway System. And we received those grants through the National Highway System as a higher priority from the community than other road projects in order to make this project feasible. In addition to those two sources of monies, the port will be contributing a little over $1 million towards this new facility. And what it will do is allow the train to stop in Bellingham, have a direct passenger link through a series of covered walkways to the ferry terminal. And in that facility, in that complex, we will also house a new Greyhound bus regional station. And Greyhound's very excited about it because you've heard this or not, but Greyhound's had a 70% turnover in their upper management staff in the last 2 years, and they want to create the new bus system for America, and they're looking at projects where they can change that image, and this will be one of their first attempts to do that. So they're real excited about the project. So we'll end up, fortunately, with a bus facility that will not only have regional Greyhound buses, but also our local mass transit will come into the facility. It'll be a train terminal, and it'll be directly linked to the ferry terminal. And so we're real excited about that concept. I think it's important to note that since the ferry came, this has always been envisioned as the next step of the development of that transportation gateway to Alaska for a lot of folks. And it really represents, in the investment of both the state of Washington and the community, and it's gotten a great deal of community support, a statement of recommitting to that facility. And we're now going the next step and putting in our local capital dollars into that facility. And the state's very excited about that as well. And so it does represent a recommitment to the ferry terminal. So with that, I'd like to introduce Bruce Ayers. Bruce is with the city council, and give you a little bit of perspective from the city's position.
Good. Is this close enough, or do I need to get closer for the thing?
If you can pull up the chair there. We've got these little mics right here.
Yeah. Actually, they're kind of neat. I was wondering how they're working, aren't they? I'm a recent city council member, and during the process of getting the funding and us having to reprioritize some of our projects and go through the public hearings to get this multimodal system going, I think the community took another look, you know, after 5 years of the initial decision, and recommitted that this is where they wanted to see the transportation. They wanted to support this part of the town, and everything that the port's doing is something that we feel is good for Bellingham and something we want to continue to work with. Some of the things that we've done most recently is we've moved ahead our truck route so that we can get a more direct route and get most of the commercial traffic onto the freeway, off the ferry, onto the truck route, and over to I-5 is without going up through the Fairhaven area. And then we're now working on a parking district so that the Fairhaven district can grow to be better able to serve the traffic and the people and the interest in that part of the community. That's going to involve more landscaping, more plants to be watered, and then we want to upgrade that whole Fairhaven. The plan right now, if we can get the parking district approved, is to put at least one motel down there with about 36 units, just so that it can be much more of a hub. Some in the past, the downtown has always taken a precedent over this part of the community, and that's changing little by little so that the community stays with what's happening and what the port is generating and building up around it. So we obviously want to make sure that we still have a ferry there that's our anchor tenant, and make sure that we're investing to support this consistently.
Good. Any questions here from the committee, from Bruce?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you operate under an enterprise fund type situation for your port, and is it an industrial development site, or the combination bus, train, ferry complex?
Yeah, the Port Authority is a special district in the state of Washington, and our boundaries are coterminous with Whatcom County. We have taxing authority, and about 25% of our revenues come from property taxes, and 75% come from operating fees, leases, and rents, and that type of thing. And we do operate, we use a single fund, but we do have different cost centers. And this transportation location is a separate cost center for us. And quite frankly, we don't do very well with it financially. And we are trying to improve the use of the facility, attracting other small cruise vessels into the facility. The link with Amtrak will certainly help to improve our financial situation with it. So that's one of our motivations from doing it. The other one, quite frankly, is that the facility has got a lot of spin-off benefits to the community in terms of local businesses, people using hotels and restaurants and things like that. So, but we are, in that sense, we are an enterprise fund.
Go ahead.
If I might follow up, is the airport included in that, in the Port Authority?
The airport, we operate marinas. We're the largest marina operator in the state of Washington, commercial and pleasure. We operate the airport. We operate this passenger facility. We operate a break bulk cargo terminal. And then we're one of the largest property owners and operators in the county that operate anything from retail. We have 11 restaurants on our property to heavy industry. And we rent out single room offices, for example. In other situations, we rent out land on a land lease basis. So we're pretty diverse for a port. In fact, we're probably the most diverse port in the state of Washington in that regard.
Any other questions?
Ed, one other person, Mike Brennan with the Chamber, would like to give a couple comments and some information on the business aspects of the ferry and the multimodal facility.
Just quickly, here's generic background information on our community. I think I've had the pleasure of addressing the committee for about 4 years now. And in the
recognize
past,
your voice.
Yeah, really. Get right close to the microphone here. In the past, we've talked a lot about the Canadian impact into Joaquin County. 1991 was our big year. We had about 32 million Canadians come in, shop, and spend money in town. We're down to about 26 million projected for 1994 related to the lower value of the Canadian dollar. But surprisingly, we're having a lot more growth and development down in Skagit County and the Burlington and Mount Vernon area, where folks are coming up into Bellingham to do their retail shopping activities. This last year, with the Port of Bellingham, did a study analysis of how business was working with the Marine Highway System. We pointed out that there wasn't a whole lot of interrelated activities, but certainly gave us some points to, as organizations, Chamber, Convention, and Visitors Bureau, the Fairhaven Merchants Group, to sit down as cooperative groups to work out processes and programs to be able to act better as a host community, both for Alaskans traveling the system, as well as for the tourists and the visitors coming through getting on the ferry system. So there's a lot going on at this point as we, as a community, go through a transition in and through the 1990s into the programs and the economic realities that we're working on.
Any questions? Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you. How does the Chamber react to, you indicated that government-owned property that leases to hotels and stuff we have? It was my understanding that's what part of the process that you do there. And do you have a lot of complaints from private enterprise saying in competition with the do you do fair market value leases so that you are on a par with the private enterprise?
Yeah, we do, and we have some historical leases that were done for economic development reasons that may be below market value. But in the not-too-distant past, we've gone to all market value in our leases for that very reason. Mm-hmm. We don't want to compete. And our role as a property developer is one in which we want to stimulate economic development and maybe do those projects that, for one reason or other, the private sector is not attracted to them, whether they're infrastructure improvements, mm-hmm. like industrial parks, for example, and we can be the catalyst to get them off the ground. What we don't want to do is compete head-up with the private sector.
The state of Washington is the only state in the U.S. that has a constitutional preclusion where the public sector cannot in any way benefit activities on the private side. So you don't have state loans for private sector activities. Nor, you know, Texas, Arizona, places like that, the state will build roads to new industrial operators. And so in Washington State, port authorities were created to act in that quasi position between government and private side so that they have the bonding capacity and are expected to do the capital improvement processes necessary through the bonding programs available to them to enhance community size activities. So that's really a place that's very functional for them.
I think I might add, from a political viewpoint, Washington is somewhat different in port authorities than all of the commissioners are elected. Many, most states, they are not elected. They're appointed by the governor or someone else. And so that sensitivity about competing with the private sector is often reflected in campaigns and who runs. And
how many of your terms are those?
Pardon me?
How many of your terms?
Well, they were six. Four? I was the last one to get a six-year term. And after that, the law changed.
So you've had about 10 elections then, Peter. Mm-hmm. Huh? What kind of constituency is that? Would that be at all like a borough-wide vote there or something?
Yeah, countywide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big population there.
Southwide district. We run out of a district, but the whole county votes for us.
Yeah.
There's typically about 50,000 votes cast in a countywide election.
How big is the field of contenders usually? Last election.
Last couple of elections, it's been three in the primary and two running in the general.
Except when I'm up for election, I'm four or five come out of the woods.
40 years, huh, Peter?
1952,
huh?
We think that Peter is the longest sitting port commissioner in the United States.
I think so.
We've also, in your packet, we've added some statistics in the back just for reference on usage of the ferry out of Bellingham, and which is doing better than it did in Seattle and holding its own in terms of passenger counts.
This controversy last year, as I recall, I think you brought it up, was on the taxes on goods and cargo shipped to Alaska. What became of that? Well, wasn't there a statewide?
Well, the state of Washington has a sales tax exemption
for Alaska?
Alaskans, U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, the province of Alberta, essentially those states and or provinces that do not charge a sales tax.
Okay, as I understand it, last year I think you said that they were trying to do away with that.
The new Omnibus Tax Act in Washington attempted to eliminate the sales tax exemption for Alaskans, and it allowed only the exemption for folks from Oregon who were buying in Clark County or where Vancouver, Washington is. And Governor Lowry line item vetoed that.
Okay.
Because there were some folks who made enough of a stink to point out that that was probably a legal issue of some liability to the state. So at this point, which will be decided in next year's session, in the 1995 session, the effort will be to retain the sales tax for Alaskans in Whatcom County and let the folks from Oregon be able to buy in Vancouver, because those issues don't exist in Idaho or on the eastern side of the state. But by doing that, then there isn't a sort of discriminatory practice to allow it into only one county, which would benefit us by being able to service the folks coming down through the ferry system.
What kind of a tax was that? How many percent?
7.8% total sales tax in Bellingham, and about 5.2 is the state tax component of the 7.8.
That would really jack
the
prices
up. Were there exemptions by county?
Alaska, wouldn't it?
It was statewide, and the new tax act allowed it only to one county.
What?
And that's where to Clark County.
Not Cowlitz?
No.
Does it come across the river right there? Or I'll be darned.
Not the population size, see, not the demand from the retail sector, most likely.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
Just one last comment, and then Commissioner Walker had something for you. I just wanted to let you know that we work very closely, obviously, with the Marine Highway System staff. And you know, I just want to let you know we have a very good relationship with them, and that is continuing. And when we do have problems, we're able to work them out, and they're doing a pretty good job. So they're very innovative, and they work very cooperatively with us. So.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Walker had something for you.
I just wanted to say, Representative Foster, as you know, that I used to be a resident of Alaska. I lived in Anchorage for 5.5 years and was transferred by my company to Washington. So I've always felt tied into all this, and this is my third year in a row we've been up and talking to you folks about this, and I really feel like we're more in a partnership here than maybe you were with the previous Seattle group, and that we're all in this together. We have some vested interests. But one thing we notice on the walls is that on your transportation that you're missing the a piece we think is pretty important, and that's the Bellingham Park. And so we would like to have a picture. It's obviously an aerial of Bellingham and surrounding county, and shows some of the San Juan Islands, and even has a plane heading to Alaska in it. Unfortunately, it didn't leave from Bellingham International. And if we have our way someday, you'll be able to get a plane there and fly directly into Southeast Alaska.
I'll be done.
So,
well, I appreciate that. We're going to hang that up. We'll put that up in here, and we're real proud of that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Back
thank
in you. Chair,
great.
Be sure you put it up.
It'll be up tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Hangers up over there.
Yeah.
Two guys put a 1 foot hanger.
Did you want to add anything, Peter, with your 40 years of experience?
Not really. I think all has been said. I think one thing that wasn't mentioned, MCI was a shipyard immediately adjacent to the ferry terminal and on our property. It's probably the favorite shipyard in the United States for the Alaska ferry system. They can't say too many good things about them, and they do a lot of work for them. And after the last fiasco of taking one down to New Orleans, or Alabama, I guess it was, and I don't think they know how to weld back there very good. They had nothing but trouble with it.
I think I remember that,
for over a month, and that's better for us, because I think you're doing more of your work in Bellingham. In other words, it doesn't have a big enough dry dock to take the Columbia. They've been trying to entice MCI to come to Ketchikan and run that one, but they want to take that shipyard and floating dry dock to Bellingham, but I don't think Ketchikan wants to let go of it. But we appreciate you being here, and I've got another year and a half to serve my term. I hope to be back again next year.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. Okay, any other comments by the committee? I wanted to thank Reed Stoops. I see Reed about 4 or 5 times a week, and he's got free run of the Capitol building here, and he's always kept us very well informed. And thank you very much, Reed. You know, I think I mentioned this last year. I was raised in the Fairhaven mining district up north of Nome, about 100 miles near Kotzebue. And when I was growing up, I always thought a miner had named that. And when I went down to Bellingham the first time a couple of years ago, here that was a Fairhaven district. I went through some of the old, matter of fact, there's a picture of one of these buildings here that I went through. I thought that miner went down there and named your area there until I found out that it was done after the Civil War, so it had to be somebody down there coming up there and naming that. So I guess we've had a lot of people from Seattle probably 100 years ago up around Nome, and that's a real unique name. I guess if there's nothing else here then from the committee, or if there's any other comments that...
We'll invite you down when we have the opening, when the train pulls in, if you'd like to come down and visit.
Oh, I'd love to. When's that?
It should be October 1st.
October 1st. Okay. Well, we've got an election this year, too. I hope I'm still around, too. Elizabeth Belengiri is the secretary for the Transportation Committee. You knew Wendy very well before, and she's been handling the committee, and she will be. So if you've got something that you need, feel free to give Elizabeth a call at any time. But I do want to thank all of you for coming up here and for your time. I look forward to seeing you again next fall then, I guess, and I will be down, and some of the other committee members also, I'm sure. So this committee is adjourned at 5:30. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.